why in the world does God need the Holy Spirit? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. And Pete, thanks for coming in, as you do each Friday, to answer these questions.
Good to be here.
Pete is my pastor, and he comes in for a number of reasons. He has some profound things to say. We want, as Key Life, to say we're pro-church, and we don't just say that. Pete serves on the board of Key Life, and we're for the local church. By the way, Key Life's going to die. The church's never going to die. Key Life is a nice thing to do, and we're doing it because God raised it up. But Key Life doesn't have anything chiseled in concrete. We're going to die, but never the church. I just hope it doesn't die before I do, because I need this job. See, you're going to have a job. You know, you don't ever have to worry. It may be tomorrow God says, that's it for Key Life, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be out in the wind swinging without, but I'm a member of a good church that would feed me, right?
And we may need a staff member.
We love getting your questions, by the way, but you have to write them down, send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000. Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. But be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want a response, and you always get one from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And, as always, don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get a lot of neat, free stuff by using that number, or you can make a contribution. But you do have to write your questions down, and we love to get your questions. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
Our Father, we do bow in your presence today. It's been a good week. It's been a busy week with ups and downs. And so, Father, we come to you today grateful that we're your children. We don't control anything, but you do. We're grateful that you have brought us along in your plan. And Lord, thank you that you've told us as much of that plan as we need to know, and yet you guide us through the darkness by your Spirit. And we thank you for salvation in Christ and filling in the Holy Spirit. And so we just come to you today and ask that you would meet us and meet our needs and draw us closer to you for your honor and your glory, and make us ready to worship you this weekend. We pray for our leaders and pastors, teachers, pastors' wives, our priests, and Lord, we just pray that you would use these spiritual leaders in our lives to draw us close to you and to help us experience the joy of being your children. We thank you for Key Life, Lord. I thank you for Steve and the ministry you've given him, and just pray you continue to bless him. And may many more people come to know about your goodness through the ministry of Key Life. We commit our time to you now as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is an email. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why does God even need the Holy Spirit?
I'm going to take that last part first. I want to say, you know, does God need the Holy Spirit? That's really a Trinitarian issue, isn't it? That's the being of God, the doctrine of God. God is three persons in one.
And so the question shouldn't be, does God need, but God is.
God is. God
the Holy Spirit.
Yes. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. Now, that is one of the great teachings of the Bible that is mysterious in the sense that it doesn't connect with our intellectual human categories as well, in terms of gripping it.
And you know, almost all the time, if you try to define the Trinity, you slip into heresy. So I just don't define it. I just say, I've experienced God in those places. Even that, you start talking about it, you start getting into heresy.
You do.
But the Bible does teach it.
That's right.
And it teaches it clearly, and it's the central theological issue of heresy.
That's right. And down through the... Exactly. Through the beginning of the history of the church, they had to struggle with who is the Son, and then they had to struggle with who is the Holy Spirit then.
That's right.
And so this was hard fought as they studied through Scripture.
So when you have a person tell you, and some who visit your homes will tell you, the Holy Spirit is not a person but a force. They're
and
simply
it.
Wrong. Yeah, you can't grieve an it.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is grieved, the Bible says. And
that's
we
right.
could go on and on about that. But the Holy Spirit is God. And so it's not a question, does God need, but God is.
God is, right.
By the way, just so you know, dear listener, I wrote a book on just this subject.
And the
so
title
I
is?
Know, I know everything you can know about, well, but it's called Fall of the Wind, and you can get it. It's published by Baker, I think, and you can get it from our ministry or in a bookstore.
It's a great book, and it really helps to simplify a very, very complex subject.
That's because I'm
teaching.
But just briefly, let's talk about some of the things that the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah, well, you know, classically, don't we think of the Father as the Creator and the Son as a Redeemer and the Spirit as the applier of the work of Christ? However, that's a little bit too simplistic because Colossians says Jesus created.
That's right.
And Genesis 1 says the Spirit of God was moving over the waters of God's incipient creation. So,
but there are things that are clearly the business, the job description of the Holy Spirit.
Are.
And when one of the things is that when people start pointing too much to the Holy Spirit, it may not be him.
Yeah.
Because he's always pointing to Jesus, to the first
that.
And second.
Yeah.
But fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Producing the character of Christ in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Encouragement.
He's from Jesus.
That's right. He's the one that has come alongside to help. He's the paraclete.
So, you know, I had a professor at Boston University when I was there who was a liberal, but he said he watched his child die in his wife's arms over a period and then watched her die over the next few months of a broken heart, literally.
Mm.
And he used to say, and this was an old liberal, his name was Harold DeWolf, he used to say, gentlemen, during that time I would not have survived it if it had not been for this sense of God's presence comforting me. Upholding me, guiding me, and guys had come out of this old liberal's theological class on the Holy Spirit just weeping.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit does come. The paraclete comes alongside.
That's right. That's right. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, is our challenger, is our teacher. The Spirit will guide you into all truth, Jesus said.
Do you, what about the guy just reading the Bible before he's a Christian? Doesn't make any sense. And after he's a Christian, he reads the Bible and says, somebody's rewritten this book. What happened?
That's right. Yeah. He's been enlightened.
And it's the Holy Spirit doing that.
Helps him understand God's Word.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is, there is freedom.
Yeah.
So if you see an uptight, angry, condemning Christian who is legalistic and says to you as a new Christian, I'm going to put a saddle on you and ride you till you die, and you better stay in line, or that's not the Holy Spirit.
Not the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit has freedom. Some of you guys get really upset with us because we laugh a lot. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. The early church called the Holy Spirit the Happy Spirit.
Yeah. Wow.
This I think this guy got more information than he wanted.
Probably. He ought to just get your book.
You're right. All right. Let me go. Let me see. Does it do any good to pray? This is from Connecticut. Does it do any good to pray for someone after he or she died? Well, not if you pray for them to get well.
That's right.
I mean, it's generally too late by then.
Yeah, that's right. We could pray for a resurrection, but and the simple answer to this question is
no.
No.
No. It's appointed unto man
once to die, and then comes
the judgment.
The judgment. And that shows that there is urgency for spreading the gospel. And there is urgency to do business with God.
Yeah. Two very important magnitudes, the shortness of time and the vastness of eternity. And they're going to bring up, although they don't, some people will bring up that passage. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul, or 13, or... 14.
No, you're right, 15.
It's
15. Yeah.
Listen, I'm getting better at this. I might join the Navigators.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he said, Paul says... Then he's making the argument for the resurrection, and he says, why do some people pray for the dead? And people say, see, but Paul didn't say we're supposed to do that.
No, no.
He was just saying you're illogical.
That's right. So the reality is that even though these practices are followed by some churches that you pray for the dead, and some cults.
Yeah.
Some are baptized for the dead, and that's out of it, too.
So if you've been doing that, stop it. It's your mother speaking. Just stop it. How many times do I have to tell you this?
Just say no.
And just say no. This is from Ohio. Why did our salvation have to come through a blood sacrifice? What is the significance of that?
Well, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, no remission of sins, it says in the book of Hebrews. So the Bible takes very seriously the holiness of God. It also takes very seriously the love of God and the justice of God. So he loves us deeply, but he is who he is, and he is holy and he is just, and he must punish sin, and he will. Yeah. And that's why the blood sacrifice.
Yeah. Could God, but the whole deal, by the way, that's in every culture. If you're an anthropologist and you study the primitive third world countries, the animists, the Australian Aborigines, there's always this idea of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if God planted it into our genes so that when the Lamb of God would come and be sacrificed for the world, everybody would understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God could have decided to do it another way, couldn't he? I mean, he's God.
Well, how often do you,
imagine any other way, but
that's right.
When you say without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins,
that's
true because God said it's true, and he decided that's the way he's going to do it, didn't he?
Right. Right.
That may
be
heresy. I'm not sure.
That's one of those real difficult questions, though, but I think you have to ultimately say yes, but that's the way God set it up.
Yeah.
And that is the way it is.
And
that
he
is
set it up from creation. I mean, it's a part of everything.
That's right.
The Lamb in the Older Testament.
When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So it's been set up from the very beginning, and sacrifice is, even the clothing of Adam probably indicates after their sin, probably indicates some sort of a sacrifice, which points ahead to redemption.
You know, when you start thinking about things like this, they just blow you away.
Yeah.
I mean, you see how it all comes together. You see how God started by revealing this in natural revelation to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then he hones it in Israel with the Lamb. And then we get to the New Testament, as you said.
I think the missiologist Don Richards called them redemptive analogies in every culture.
So good.
I love it.
Got to go. You show up next week?
I'll see you.
Oh, man. Thanks. Listen, whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. A lot of wonderful people make it possible. We'd like to know who they are. One other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.